Now in our first reading from the Word this morning, one of the things the Lord taught us was that all the hairs on our head are numbered. And you may wonder what is meant by that. Now, I don't think there's anybody here who knows exactly how many hairs they have on their head. And even if you tried, just imagine trying to count the hairs on your head. It would be almost impossible. You couldn't really tell, did I miss this one or did I count that one twice? So to know that is really impossible. There's only one who knows everything, all, even the number of the hairs on our heads, and that is, of course, the Lord. What he's really saying here is that I know everything about you, even down to the very hairs on your head and the number of them, which, of course, is not something that is not really very important in itself. And as we think about that, it can be perhaps a little bit scary to think about that, that the Lord knows everything about us. Not only the things we have done and the things we have said, but also even the things we have thought and felt. Even the things that we have kept hidden within, perhaps because we knew that they were not really good and right. But the Lord knows. And that can sometimes make us afraid. But the fact is that it's really a good thing that the Lord knows everything about us. Just stop for a moment and think about, you know, say you wanted to help somebody and you don't know anything about them at all. You don't know what they are like, you don't know what they want, you don't know what they need. Well, then you can't really help them very much. It's only when you know something about them that you can begin to figure out a way of helping them. And of course, then the more you know about them, the better you will be able to help them. And that is why it is a good thing that the Lord knows everything about us. The first thing to remember, of course, is that the Lord is merciful and he loves us. And also, the Lord does not want to punish us, no matter what we have done, but only to help us and to guide us. And that is why when he knows everything about us, then he can help us in wonderful ways. He can protect us against evil, and he can guide us along a safe path that will lead us to his heavenly kingdom. So the Lord not only knows everything, of course, but the fact is that his power, his government, his divine providence extends from the very inmost to the very outmost. It is, as we are taught in the heavenly doctrine also, that even such inconsequential things as games of chance are guided by the Lord, the outcome of them. There are so many things in us and in our lives that we have really had no way of deciding or choosing. That is, whether or not we are going to be born in the first place, what talents we may be given, even the size of us, or the environment into which we are born. All these are things that are guided by the Lord without us either knowing or being able to decide. It is, as we also taught in the Arcana Celestia about the divine providence, that the least things of all, down to the least of least, are directed by the Lord's providence, even as to the very steps. And we are taught also that if man openly sensed how he is guided by the Lord in everything, he would rebel against it. And the fact is, it sometimes seems that We have no real freedom of choice, but only the appearance of it, or you may even say the illusion of it. That we are given this appearance or illusion, this feeling of freedom, simply so that that may be a resting place, an external resting place for the internal state of spiritual freedom. It is sometimes explained that the important thing, that which is essential, is that we have freedom in spiritual things. That the things and events of this world are not really important in themselves. That freedom on that plane is not really necessary as long as we feel free. And yet the fact is that that is not really so. It is a universal law that there must be, that every internal must have a corresponding external. And this is true even of the lowest material things, the most inert things in the material world. As we are also taught in a true Christian religion, that even in these most external things, there must be something analogous to freedom in order that they may exist. And so it seems that there are two fundamental principles here that are diametrically opposed or mutually exclusive. One being that the Lord governs everything, knows everything, governs everything, and on the other hand, that we must nevertheless have a state of freedom of choice, even in external things. But to see those things as mutually exclusive is to look just on the surface of things. Because these two principles, far from being mutually exclusive, really exist in perfect harmony. Even we can say they are mutually supportive of each other and interdependent. And to see this, we may consider the following teaching also from the heavenly doctrine, that if man was not led by the Lord in each and all things of his life, he would rush headlong into hell. In other words, if we were left completely to our own designs and devices in our life in this world, because of our heredity, we would almost inevitably or inevitably find ourselves in situations where we were no longer able to resist, where we're no longer able to control ourselves, and we would, because of that, throw ourselves into various disorders that would speed us on our way to hell. That is why, for example, as we are taught, that some people are not allowed ever to gain wealth or to gain power, simply because that their heredity would, in that situation, make them mindless slaves of these things and blind them to spiritual things. And yet, divine providence leads in such a secret and wonderful way that there is no violation of our freedom, even the external freedom. That is, we are allowed to desire to attain something, we are allowed to plan how to do it, and we are allowed to strive to get it as well. Nothing keeps us from that. But something always happens if it's not meant to be, so that our desire and planning and striving nevertheless don't bring us this reality that we desire. And it is by means of these experiences and by the guidance of our affections and thoughts that our minds and our hearts can be turned to what is eternal and spiritual wealth and power, and to a state of contentment, which really is a state of greater freedom than anything else. And so we may say that this way the two hands of the Lord does not manipulate us as a puppet, but rather moderates and protects us both within and without. The Lord does not leave us in freedom, but rather he keeps us and holds us in freedom, both internally and externally, with the mighty gentle power of his love and his wisdom. Amen.